Thank you, Pastor. Let's keep that hand going to the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would just shout with a voice of triumph. I wish somebody would just recognize what's in the room. We've been preaching my message all since the start of service. It's just a confirmation of what the Lord's wanting to do in this place. He's wanting to break through some barriers today. He's wanting victory in your home. He's wanting victory in your marriage. He's wanting victory for your children. How many know you got a name? You got a name you can call on. I know you feel a little alone today, maybe. You may feel like you're just kind of going through the motions. Anybody been there on a Sunday? Do I got any real people here today? You go through the motions a little bit. You just kind of come. You clock in. But you know what? That doesn't really impress God. He doesn't like your lip service. But if you would just give Him a little bit of thankfulness straight from your heart, you're going to see Him do something miraculous in your life today. Today is the day of your salvation. And if you lost everything, I mean everything, let's say your family's gone, your friends are gone, your kids don't even want to talk to you no more, your job has fell through, and on top of that, the brakes on your car are starting to squeal a little bit. Things just seem to be a little down for you. But if you got a name, if you just have the knowledge of the name of Jesus, then you have more than enough. I'm so glad to be here. Glad to have my wife with me. This is my wife, Sister Camille Cunningham. Would you make her feel welcome?
Devour me.
Can we clap? clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Woo. I want to thank your pastor, his family, and his team for the invitation for my wife and I to be here today. It is our honor. You are blessed with a great pastor, great leadership in this church. I am floored by this facility. What a beautiful church you all have. And I'm telling you, you better gear up because these pews, these empty seats aren't going to be empty for long. And I'm not saying that. I'm not just blowing smoke here. This is an atmosphere. This is the most dangerous place in Whiteland. Because where there's a problem in someone's life, where sin is abounding, hey, there's grace in this place. Lord, like you're and worshiping him like you're doing, you're gonna have to be moving out of the old library here pretty soon. It's not gonna be able to hold, and that's a good problem to have in Jesus' name. I do feel, you know what, we could go home right now and that'd be all right, but I do feel that God has led me and confirmed throughout the start of this service. Brother England, Brother Jake, I'm telling you, and Pastor, just every song, I feel there is a word for this church, and I just want to bring it. I'm aware of the time, but I just want, my wife and I have come to encourage this body today, and I hope that's okay. I got a strong word, but it's a word of encouragement. I'm not come to poke anybody in the eye. Don't worry. I need both your eyes open. I need both your ears open. And I'm asking if you would take, let's go back to the Old Testament, to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to talk to you a little bit about two places. I'm going to start in 2 Kings, and then I want to jump quickly to Matthew chapter 15. So we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 5 here. We're going to go through this short story about Naaman, great general, great man's man, but he went around licking doorknobs, so he caught leprosy. What a silly thing. And you ever think, like, how does somebody get COVID four times? They must be walking around licking every door handle. Unbelievable. But, these last few years, how many can identify God's been faithful? Amen. Amen. I want to take you to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to start at actually verse 9. Could we start at verse 9 real quick? I'm so sorry. So Naaman, and he's a great general, and a servant of his recommended the man of God, Elisha. And so there they are. They come to Elisha's home. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger out to him, saying, go. The messenger, Elisha, stayed inside and sent his mouthpiece to say, like, go tell that guy and all of his posse. Tell him, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Everybody say 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I love reading this and thinking that Elisha looked outside. And he's like, who is that? Oh, my. What's going on? Oh, he has leprosy? Oh. All right. Well, go tell him to go to the Jordan. Wash 7 times. He'll be fine. He'll be like a newborn baby. There you go. All right. Just hint like a doctor writing a prescription. All right. Take 7 of these. You'll be good in the morning. That kind of thing. I always like reading it like that. I'm weird. I'm a little off. People can testify to that. But I like putting little perspectives in there when I'm reading the Bible. It helps me get through the year when you're reading it. But, you know, after he said this, the messenger said this to Naaman. Naaman was a bit what the Bible calls wroth. Was wroth. And went away. That means he threw a fit. And said, behold, I thought he would surely at least come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over a place. He wanted a big old show. And he said, I could go back into the rivers of my land. The rivers of Damascus are better than the waters of Israel. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away. He turned around in a rage, spitting, probably cussing. Oh, help him, Jesus. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldn't thou have done it? How much more, how much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So they went down, Naaman, and dipped himself seven times, everybody say seven times, in the Jordan, according to what the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. This is Jesus. This is the Savior of the world, the nice person. And he heard somebody crying for help, and he ignored her. Not quite the Jesus you remember seeing hanging on the wall of Sunday school. Not quite that. But that's what the Bible said happened. And how many believe the Bible's true, every word of it? Amen? And if we stop there, that'd be a depressing story, but we go on. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She's crying after us. She's making a scene. Tell her to chill out and go. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. This is Jesus. But if that was the end of the story, if she got up and went on her way with that word of rejection, but you know what she did? She pushed through. Because she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'm here to tell Apostolic Church breaking bread, I'm here to tell you that defeat is not your destiny. Defeat is not your destiny. I wish you'd lay your Bibles, your Bible apps down, your phones down, and would you just lift up your hands one more time? Lift up your voice. Let's ask the Lord to, his word's anointed. Would you pray for this preacher right now and pray that his word would go forth, that hearts would receive. I'm going to lay my microphone down. Pray with me. If you appreciate the presence of the Lord that you felt so far and all the music from the team and my wife, would you put your hands together and just give God thanks for this atmosphere? Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I don't know if I've mentioned this already. This is my wife, Camille. We've been married 7 months. 7 months we've been married. I know. If he can do it for me, y'all. If he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. Y'all, you've heard it say, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. See me and believe. But, you know, it's incredible. You know, I learned so much after I got married. It's an eye-opening experience. I've been single a long time, y'all. And I found my good thing. And she's taught me so much. Apparently, before I got married, I did not know how to dress myself. Some of you all who know me have clapped a little too hard at that. But behold, Devon by Camille. There you go, right here. I don't pick out my socks anymore. It's just, is this okay? Can I wear this today? Yes, they're with jeans. Is jeans okay today? Also, apparently I'm a terrible driver. And it is a miracle that I have not killed myself or a million people since I got my license. It's the hand of God, my guardian angel is just like whoop, whoop, whoop. And then I got married, and then she's my guardian angel right here in my passenger seat. Lets me know that they stopped 100 yards away immediately. Tell you what. Although if she had the microphone right now, there'd be a different perspective. I love my wife. I love my wife. Speaking of marriage, have you ever felt like you were set up to fail? Oh, yeah, there you go. You ever felt like your spouse or your husband, your wife kind of gave you a little task and you're thinking, there's no way I'm really going to complete this. I think they just gave me this to watch me flounder a little bit. Yeah, what about your parents? Your parents ever gave you a little task to do, a little chore, and you're like, there's no way I'm going to get this done. My dad had a fun little task for me and my brothers. I'm the oldest of four, and when we were acting up, Pastor, we knew when we got home, when we got too big for whippings, which, you know, he tried. He kept that line going. But, I don't care. My dad never caught one episode of Oprah or Dr. Phil. I'll tell you what, right now, we got whippings. And, hey, I'm just saying, love your kids enough to course correct them a little bit. It's all right. It's all right. I'm not saying, you know, kill your children. I'm just saying, stop that, you know. But my dad, when we got a little too big for stop that, you know, he'd be like, oh, okay, well, you're thinking you're big time. All right, well, guess what? I got a big pile of rocks at home, and I need all the rocks that are on this side of the yard, I need them brought over to this side of the yard today. And so that's what we would do. If me and my brother got in an argument or something, or the brothers got in a fight, we'd just pick up rocks, we'd move them over to here. And that's what we did on our Saturday. Your weekend was done, okay? You're done. Your Saturday is moving rocks. You're in a chain gang. That's what you're in right there. And then after you're done and he comes home from his, you know, from his job, my dad'd be like, that's good. That's good. You know what? I made a mistake. I actually needed those rocks over here today. So you know what? I'm going to go in. I'm going to get dinner started. But you just keep moving them rocks. And then the next time you decide to act a little, you know, you're going to remember, I don't want to spend my Saturday moving rocks. And it's a lesson. It's a lesson that you're taught. And even with your bosses, your boss at your job that, you know, hopefully you pray for and not just think, oh, maybe this is the day God, you know, takes his life or something. You know, I don't know. Hey, do I got any real people in here? Y'all got some bosses. Y'all got some foremans. Y'all got some managers. You're like, oh, man. I hope they get saved and then, you know, just don't go to my church, you know. but you know, they give you those tasks that help you kind of a teaching moment kind of a thing. How many know you can look back on your life and you've experienced one after another, and you don't have to be very old. You can be like these children here. I'm sure if you sat them down and talked with it, even right now, they're facing it. Bless them. And you experience one moment of failure after another, these teaching moments. But I need you to understand and not get bogged down by these situations. because living requires you to fail. Living effectively requires you to fail. We all have experiences and failure. You are born a failure. And I know that's kind of a mean sentence to say, but it's true. You're born into sin. You're born way behind the eight ball. You are just set up automatically to fail. Thanks to a failure a long time ago, you are in need of help. You know, failure will occur. But defeat is different than failure. Failure is a moment. It's a moment in time. It's a thing that catches us, and we can either learn from it or dwell on it. And when you dwell on it, and you don't just, what you're supposed to do is, okay, take your licks, course correct, but keep walking forward. Now, I know this seems like real base level, but that's okay. I'm talking to everybody here. When you dwell on your failure, that's when you start swimming in defeat. Defeat is a state of being. It's when you're decimated. It's when you're flat on your back and you just don't want to get up again. But the problem that we have in the church is that when we experience failures in our life, failures at your job, failures in your marriage, failures with your kids, failures in relationships with your friends, church hurt kind of a thing. When you experience that, there's too much temptation to give up and give in to defeat. But you cannot. Church, listen to me. If you want these pews to be full and you want this church to be effective in this community, you cannot let the disease of callousness, cynicism, and a bitter tongue and mindset get a hold of you. Because all of those things, they're cancers to your soul. But if you would just wake up and remember, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will still rejoice, even though I'm still struggling, even though I got some pain in my life, I'm still got a mind of thankfulness and praise in my heart. Because even though I did slip and fall yesterday, behold, there was a new dawn, there was new mercy, and you are an overcomer through Christ Jesus today. Somebody clap your hands and shout for joy in this place. It's how you respond to the problem. It's how you respond to the matter. It's how you can realize you cannot do it on your own. My old pastor, Brother Mooney, used to say this all the time. You can't win by yourself, but you can win. And what that means is when you realize that, okay, that's right, I've tried on my own. I've tried to trust in my own understanding, but it's time that I start trusting in the Lord. You can win by yourself, but you can win if you start trusting Him more than you did yesterday. Oh, I wish somebody would recognize today that when people come to these altars, they're not just going through some motions. It's not some ritual. These people have realized that I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord. And the good thing is, He is on your side. He is here to fight for you, to lean. If you would just lean on Him, He said, give me your cares, give me your problems, give me your anxieties, give me your depression. Take it all. I'll take it all. But you got to trust in the Lord with not just the part, but all of your heart. And you will see the breakthrough in your life. You will overcome, because defeat was never an option for you. God has never set any of you up to fail. ever. He loves you too much. But then I know some of you great theologians might bring up Job. And you know what else is funny? You're not the only person who's going to bring up Job. Remember, God brought up Job? God mentioned Job's name to Satan. Please leave my name out. Don't mention me to Satan. You want to know why? You think God mentioned Job's name? You think God mentioned Job's name because he thought how great Job was? You can miss that. It's not about how great Job was. It's because he knew Job is my servant. And I'm Job's God. It's not about how great Job is. It's how great I am. It's not about how... If you'll be faithful to him, he'll be faithful to you. What I tell you already, you can lose your house, your kids, your wealth, everything. But if you would just remember the name of the Lord, you can overcome. I wish somebody clap your hands if you believe that right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a woman with an issue of blood, 12 long years, spent all her money on doctors, and she wasn't even allowed in town except to see her doctor. She couldn't even come in contact with her family. It was a disease back in those days, and you know what? She was desperate. Sometimes you got to get to a desperate place. And maybe you all think you got a couple more days to go before you hit rock bottom. So you really don't need Jesus yet. Well, if you want to gamble that away, remember, we're not supposed to be betting people. But if you want to gamble with your life, look, I told you I have a strong word, but I'm here to encourage you today. Don't gamble with your time. When you know that Jesus is in town, get inside the city. Faithfulness saved Job, and faith saved this woman. She went in town when she wasn't supposed to. There was a crowd gathering around Jesus that she couldn't reach him, except if she got on her hands and her knees, and she had to crawl in the dirt. She had to... I know there's somebody here. That's why we were sent here today, because there's somebody here. You are practically in your spirit on your hands and knees, and you are fighting your pride, the pride of your soul that is trying to keep you from your blessing, because you don't want to be seen as somebody who's lesser than, who's somebody who needs help, somebody who's going to really call on the name of the Lord, like your life depends on it, like your marriage depends on it, like your job depends on it. But if you just look at the example of the woman who crawled through the dirts of that street past those smelly people who were gathered around him, and she said, I don't even need his attention really, but I believe if I could just touch the hem of his robe. And you know what that kind of faith does? That stops Jesus in his tracks. That stops him in his tracks. And that makes him turn around and say, oh, wait a second. And you know what? He was God in flesh. He knew exactly who touched him. But he does love making a little bit of a show when he sees faith. Hey, when he sees faith, he loves showing out a little bit. That's why he made a big production of it. He said, oh, who touched me? And the disciples are like, look around. Everybody's touching. He said, no. Virtue has flown, has gone through my body. And what did he say when he got to her? Your faith has made you whole. Defeat was not her destiny. Yeah, she experienced failure. Yeah, she lost a lot of her money. Yeah, she experienced health problem after health problem. 12 years of it. But defeat was not her destiny. Jesus was her destiny. Woo! Just like Jesus is your destiny today. He is your victory. He is your help. He is your ever-present help. Do I got anybody that believes that today? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. I feel like I need to move on, but then I feel a little checked. There was a blind man, and all he knew was he heard a commotion. And he'd been hearing, all he has are his ears. And he heard the rumors of this man named Jesus. And what does he do when he hears that Jesus is close by? He hears crowds talking. He yells, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." And what does Jesus do when he sees faith? It stops him in his tracks. And he made a little show. He spit in the dirt, put it over his eyes, and said, "Go wash your faith." Because faith made him, woo! Stretch your hands up to the front right now. In the name of Jesus, I come against every stronghold, every tool of the enemy. Lord God, let there be breakthrough in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, the altars, this altar calls open. Whatever you need from the Lord in your life, you come and get it right now. Because defeat's not your destiny. Jesus is your destiny. Hallelujah. See, this is why I love the Bible. Because for every Red Sea, for every Jericho, for every Haman, for every Absalom, for every brother, group of brothers and sisters that sell you out, for every time of persecution that you have felt for doing the right thing, God will, come on, for every time that you feel that, every story just tells us to trust. Because if we just stand still and not be ashamed of our Redeemer and bring a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice of praise. You know what that means? That means on the other side of your Red Sea, there is a victory. That's what every story, that's what everything that in this word tells us. Trust in me, trust in the Lord. Brother Jeff Arnold is quoted as saying, "God will allow pains and problems so that he can get our attention to the place that we will admit and quit, that we will change and alter." That's why he continued on to say, you ought to thank God for the problem, because the problem is a divine guarantee that there is already a provision in place. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Naaman was asked to dip 7 times. And God does a big work with your yes. God can reach you right where you're at right now if you just say yes. I know I just gave an altar call, but it can flow. His presence and his spirit can fall on you right in your pew right now. The moment that your heart says yes, that's all he needs is a yes. But I'll tell you what, your pride will keep you from your blessing. Your pride will destroy your marriage. Your pride will destroy relationships in your church. Naaman's pride almost kept him from his miracle. I know it's a hard word. I'm coming after your flesh. That's what I've been sent to do. But there are waters. There are waters. There is living water available to you today. And the man of God, you're not the first person. I'm not the first person to ever preach this from this pulpit. I know your pastor's been preaching it. I know people have come up and been exhorting the word of the Lord behind this pulpit. I know it's been happening here because I see the fruits of God reaching and teaching. So when the word of God tells you to dip, dip, baby, dip. When the word of God tells you to live right, live right. When the word of God tells you, put the bottle down, put it down. When the word of God tells you to quit rolling it up, stop rolling it up. When the word of the Lord tells you to quit dealing, quit your dealing. When the word of the Lord tells you, and you may say, I'm just down to one cigarette a day. That's it. That's all I have. God wants your one. He wants the one. He wants it all because he gave it all so that he can, he's the only one with the, his word is it. It's not the men. If your pastor got up and just gave you good advice, but it's not grounded in the word, you have no right to stay here. But that's not what's happening in this house. He's bringing you the word of God with a way. He's bringing you the word of God so that you can be cleansed and be made new. But it's by your faith. It's your faith in this word that will make you whole. God is desperate. You understand that? God is desperate to see your faith in action. He needs this church. Well, no, that's not true. He wants to use this church, but he does not need you. If this church don't catch it, he'll find somebody else. Because that's how great he is. We're just in his kingdom. We get to be in his kingdom. We get to be a part of this work. Where we see lives changed in the altars, where we see kids being taught the word of God in these classrooms. We get to be a part of this wonderful kingdom of God. And it's because of our faith. Because of our faith in him. Come help me. Now remember, we talked about Naaman and we talked about the mother. Talked about the mother who had a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus ignored her. I don't know what I would have done if I would have been as persistent as her. That's what I thought when I was a kid. But then life has happened to me. Life has happened to me. And I've gotten to the place where I've showed up to prayer meetings and everyone else is praying and I start praying. I hear someone getting their blessing in the corner, but I feel like my prayers aren't even reaching the ceiling of the room. I feel like I'm getting ignored a little bit here. But I'm not ever being ignored by God. Stand with me. You are not forsaken. You have not been forgotten. Defeat is not your destiny. You may have failed him yesterday, but don't let the failures of yesterday determine what today is for you. You may feel like you haven't heard from him this whole service. You've been praying and seeking, and you just look at the mother. Whatever your need is today, he's waiting to see you bring him faith. Don't just bring him your complaint. Don't just bring him faith that he can answer every need. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Jesus is waiting for you to push through. You may be pressed, but you're not crushed. You may feel persecuted, but you're not abandoned. Hallelujah. I wish you'd come if you need anything from the Lord today. Whatever breakthrough you need.